there is a story about a husband and a wife who I'm married now, and the husband is saying, when we were dating, I was talking and my wife was listening. When we got engaged, my wife was talking and I was listening. Now we are married. We both are talking and our neighbors are listening. So we all know that love is a complicated feeling, and very often people are being very confused about love and about other emotions which are associated with it. So today, this is what we are talking about. Today we are going to be talking about love. Chesed, the Sefirah of Chesed that we are starting to talk about today, is love and kindness. Last classes, we were talking about Chochmah and Binah and Daat, the three Sefirot which are in our intellectual realm. This is our mind. And we are talking about how our mind works. Now, we are starting to talk about our emotions, our feelings. A person is created walking upright. My head is above my body. And this is because the Torah is telling us that our head is meant to control our body. My head is meant to control my heart, which is representing my emotions. Animals, most of them, have their heads on the same level as a body, sometimes even lower, because they're not meant to have their bodies controlled by their head. We are supposed to have our brain in charge of our emotions. It doesn't always happen, and there is an effort that has to be made for that. And the effort that we are referring to is this very Daat stage that we spoke about last time. Daat requires work. But as a result of this work, our brain can affect our emotions. And the first emotion that we are talking about is Chesed, which is love and kindness. In the world that we are living in today, love and kindness are very often praised and idolized. I even saw a passage of a different religion that said, God is love. And people are saying, love should rule the world. Well, I actually disagree. First of all, God is not love. God is not limited with anything according to Judaism. To say that love is God is the same thing as to say that table is God. Because God is love, but love is not God. God is love. God is every other feeling. As you remember when we were speaking about what God is in the very, very beginning, we said that since God is not limited by anything, therefore, God could be any color, any size, any shape. Is God blue? Yes, God is blue. Is God red? God is also red. Is God love? Yes, God is love. Is God hate? Yes, God is also hate. God is everything. So, having said that, when we look at love, in the Western world, love is very often made into like this main entity of the entire culture. In the Torah, we see that love is the first of our emotions, and we will see in a minute why, but it's far from everything what we need to pay attention to when we are speaking about our emotions. And as a matter of fact, when I was sending out this little tagline for this class, I wrote that why is it that we often have such a hard time liking the people we love? Because very often I love someone, but I don't like them. People who we love get us upset. People who we love get us nervous. People who we love could get us angry. There is a saying in Yiddish that if you translate it to English says, you cannot live with him and you cannot live without him. This is a lot of times what love is boiling down to. People have what they call love-hate relationship. And today we are going to be talking about it because love is very important, but love cannot function alone. Love is only one of the components. I want to ask you a question. Which feeling is opposite to love? If we have Chesed Sfira, which is representing love or kindness, what do you think would be the opposite the flip side, anger, that's one idea. What else? Any other thoughts? Strictness is the other thought. You know how to read. He's too smart for us here. Well, I would actually venture to say that I made a trap that you fell into, because I actually had this in mind when I was writing it. But I would submit that neither hate or anger or strictness are the opposite of love. The opposite of love is indifference. Absence of any feelings is the opposite of love. Why? Because as we mentioned just now, somebody can have a love-hate relationship with someone else. You cannot have a love/indifferent relationship with someone else. You cannot be indifferent and loving somebody at the same time. You can be angry at someone and loving them at the same time. You can be hating somebody and loving somebody at the same time. So if this is the case, then if we are looking at this chart, then the opposite side of love and kindness should be indifference. Well, guess what? There is no sephira indifference, because there is no emotion called indifference, because indifference is lack of emotions, absence of any feelings. This is precisely the reason why love and kindness, chesed, is the first of all sefirot, because it is the beginning. It is the opposite of absence of any emotions. This is the driving force of all other feelings. So as you see, this chart is already slanted. It is slanted towards chesed, love, because the other extreme, absence of feelings, indifference, is just not here. So that's why a lot of times people look at the chart of Sefirot and they think that it represents the entire spectrum of our life experiences. It doesn't. It represents only the experiences that we need to have. And as a matter of fact, the Torah is telling us that the worst thing that a person can have is apathy, indifference. Chesedut specifically is telling us that the lowest level of our emotional state is apathy, indifference. Because if a person has a passion for something which is wrong, you could channel this passion, you could turn it to something good. If a person is not having any passion for anything, he is lifeless. If you remember, we started speaking with the level of Keter, and Keter is above all Sefirot, and this is the source of life. So if someone is lifeless, he feels no emotions whatsoever. People who are depressed, we were talking about people who have no desire for anything, they don't feel any emotions. They are emotionless. This is the most dangerous state. So we are now talking about our emotions, and we are talking about our life force, and the first one is chesed, love, and kindness. What is describing kindness? If I want to be kind to someone, what would you say? What does it mean? What does it mean to be kind? Give, share. Okay, what else? How else would you characterize kindness? So trying to help. Forgiveness. Okay. I would suggest that in a more general sense, kindness is a desire to expand, to influence. If I am giving this marker to you, I'm being kind, I'm sharing, I am influencing you, I'm giving something to you. If I have a feeling that I want to share, I have an emotion I want to share with you, I am going to be influencing you. If I am telling you a thought, an idea, I'm influencing you. If I'm helping you with an advice, I'm helping you and I'm being kind. People who are kind are in constant need of others who they would be helping. This is why the Torah is telling us that when Abraham did not have any visitors because it was too hot, he was pained by it and he went outside of his tent to look for guests. he was paying bait because he is looking for someone to share his home with. People who are kind, they need someone else to be kind to. They want to influence someone. If I am a kind person, then my influence is going to be spreading around. I'm going to be expanding my presence. Kind people, they are constantly in a expansion mode because they are overflowing with their desire to spread their knowledge, their emotions, the things that they are giving to everybody. So chesed is expansion and influence. And where do we see it very often? In our relationship with our children. A typical Jewish mother is the epitome of kindness, and all the jokes that are associated with Jewish mothers are exactly about that. A Jewish mother is opening her window and she's screaming, Chaim, come home. Her son says, Mommy, am I already tired? No, you are already hungry. My friend has always had his mother telling him that sweaters are meant to be worn by the children when their mothers are cold. I am cold and you're going to be wearing this sweater. Well, I don't want to wear this sweater, first of all, because it's summer. Second of all, because we are indoors. And third of all, because I'm already 40 years old. Don't tell me what am I supposed to wear. But that's how Jewish mothers are. That's the stereotype, which more often than not is correct. As you know, every joke has a little bit of joke in it, and the rest is not a joke anymore. We know that if I love somebody, I will be trying to help him, but how am I helping him? I am helping him the way that I think is beneficial for him. I am overwhelming him with my presence. I don't care whether he is cold or not. I want him to wear this sweater. I don't care if he thinks he's hungry or not. I want him to eat. In the very beginning, when our kids are very little, we know that they don't know when they are cold. They just know that they are uncomfortable. They're going to be crying. They don't know when they need to eat. They're just going to be crying because something is wrong. We need to make sure that they are warm. We need to feed them. We need to change them. They need us to make all the decisions for them, and we do it out of our love for them. But then, when they grow up, they don't like it anymore. They want to make their own decisions, when to eat and how to dress and what else they're supposed to be doing. So our love is very often overwhelming other people. And I give to other people, if I'm a kind person, what I think is good for them. Kind people, they are in a constant mode of giving and giving. Often, they don't stop to think whether the other person needs it. They just want to give. And that's why unlimited kindness is not good. And as a matter of fact, this is why the Torah is telling us that Abraham, our forefather, had two sons, and one of them remained a Jew who followed his footsteps, and the other one went astray, and the reason for that was because kindness without any limits could give a positive result, but could give a negative result also. It has a bad side effect. And this is why kindness alone is not good, even though kindness is absolutely necessary, and kindness is the first step of all of our emotions, and kindness and love is the initial sefirah that we are talking about over here. If I love someone, usually that means that I want to be close with them, I want to unite with them. Intimacy of a married couple is an act of love. They want to be close to each other. They want to be as close to each other as possible. A little child wants to be as close as possible to his or her parents. But because of this, a little child will not be letting his or her mommy go when mommy needs to go to sleep, or mommy needs to go to work, or mommy needs to take care of something around the house. A little child doesn't understand that mommy has her own life. Why? Because he loves her. And his love, as all emotions of love, is disregarding others. It's just expansion. Just like a mother is telling the child to put on the sweater because in her understanding it's cold, the child wants to be next to the mother because his desire is to be close to her. When we look at love, love is not leaving any room for the person you are loving because you want to be with him the whole time. A lot of times we see that there are two people and one of them is madly in love with the other one and the other one is okay with the other person. He doesn't mind her, let's say, but she's madly in love with him and he likes her, but he doesn't have such a passionate feelings for her. She will want to be always with him and he will be getting nervous because he would be expecting her to leave him some room, but she doesn't. Why is she not leaving him some room? Because she loves him, but he wants to have his own space. Love overwhelms. Love does not allow for another person to exist. So if there are two people who love each other and they want to be united together 100%, they have mutual feelings towards each other, that's wonderful. But if there is a disbalance where one person has more love towards the other one than the other person, then this love is going to be getting the other person upset because love doesn't leave a room for another person. This is why we need to move to the second sphera, which is on our chart presented as the opposite of chesed, kindness. This is gvura, strictness. Usually, if I would ask you what is the opposite of being kind, you'd probably say being stingy, right? Being reserved, being controlled. Strictness is the ability to control yourself, your ability to reserve yourself, to withhold yourself. As you probably already heard me saying that in Russia, I was always heard while I was growing up that who is a strong person? Someone who can beat up someone else when he wants. The Torah is telling us that who is a strong person? Someone who can hold himself back from beating someone else when he wants. Because the main focus of Gevura is self-control. I always tell teachers and parents who deal with kids, you can never control others if you are not controlling yourself at that moment. When people get angry, they lose themselves. And when a parent who is mad is yelling at a child to control himself, well, you're telling the other child to do what you're not doing yourself. It doesn't work usually. So strictness is mainly aimed at yourself. Strictness is the opposite of chesed, love and kindness, which means it is my ability to withhold my emotions, my ability to control this flow of kindness and flow of love. What does it mean to control the flow of kindness? If I have a little child who I was always taking care of since the child was born, I was dressing him and I was feeding him and I was changing him and I knew when he needs what. Now this child grew up already. Well, if I love him, I will still want to give him food when I think he needs to eat and getting him dressed the way I want him to get dressed. But then I need to force myself to hold it back and think to myself, now maybe this child needs some room of himself. So we said that love is my desire to overwhelm another person and to unite with other person. Love is not leaving any room for a second human being. Gevura, strictness, is my ability to create space for another person. My ability to hold myself back for it. That is Gevura. And it is difficult. That's why Gevura also in Hebrew means strength. Gibor means a mighty person. It is hard to hold yourself back. And Gevura is also the source of my respect for others. Respecting others means holding myself back. I really want to tell this guy what I think about him. I'm holding myself back. my chesed desire, which is my desire to expand my influence, would curse him out. This is why, by the way, anger is not a revelation of gevura, strictness. It is revelation of chesed, kindness. Well, you say, what do you mean? How can it be kindness? Because he's yelling at him and he is mad at him. No, but that's me coming out of myself. This is me not controlling myself. This is me influencing. Just like kindness can be positive, kindness could be negative. I can be very kind to a person and do something which is going to harm him out of my love to him. If I am going to be spoon-feeding my 15-year-old son and 20-year-old son, I'm going to be doing it out of my kindness to him, but it probably is going to harm him because he's supposed to know how to eat himself. I would hope so. So kindness can be harmful. Kindness is not always good. So if I am angry at someone, that's a revelation of my harmful kindness. Hate, anger are in this column. Chesed column, not Gevura column. I always tell parents that if you are angry at your child, I mean, everybody gets angry. Only robots don't get angry. But if you are angry, this is not the time to be trying to be strict with your child because it doesn't work. It cannot work because you have to tell your child to do things which you are not doing yourself at that moment. You have to influence your child in a way which is contrary to what you are doing right now. If you want to be strict with your child, which is obviously necessary in certain measure with every child, you need to do it, first of all, at the times when you are strict with yourself. And respecting another person means allowing him to be. What does it mean when I tell someone, you know what, I don't agree with you, but I respect your opinion? It means that I might have a different opinion, and if I would be a total chesed person, I would just overwhelm you and make you do what I think is right. But when I say I respect your opinion, means I disagree with you, but I'm allowing you to do what you think is right because you're entitled to your opinion. This is called respect. If I come into a room and I see someone else, this person needs to be taking space in my eyes. People get upset when you don't say hello to them. Why? Because in your mind, they have to exist. This is the first, this is the minimal step of respect. Giving a person a little bit of space just to acknowledge that he is existing. If I'm walking into a room and there's a cat in the room, if I like cats, I will start playing with this cat. But if I don't like cats, and if these cats are not important beings to me, I will totally disregard this cat because this cat is not important. If I walk into a room and there is somebody there who has zero importance in my eyes, I will not say hello to him. He's not taking any space in my mind. And then if I walk into a room and there is somebody who is very important there, then I will make sure to run over to this person right away. And the first thing I'm going to say, hello, how are you? Why? Because this person is taking a lot of space in my mind. This person is very important. So now we understand that respect comes from here, from Gevura. If I have a little respect, I'm going to give him a little bit of space. If I have a lot of respect, I'm going to give him a lot of space. This is why when I walk into a room where there's somebody very important, I'm not going to run over to him right away. I'm going to be taken aback. If I walk into a room and there is somebody there who I love, I'll run over to him, hug him and kiss him. I'll smother him with my presence because that's what love does. If I walk into a room and there is a king there, there's a president there, there's somebody very important, a big businessman who I have a lot of respect for, I'm going to be taken aback. I might have enough courage later on to walk over to him, but he's going to take some strength on my part because the initial push is going to be to stand back. So first comes respect. Respect is the initial stage. Then if I have a lot of respect, this is called an awe. I could be in awe of someone. I have been listening to music of this famous singer my whole life, and now this singer is standing right in front of me. I'll be in awe. And the next step is fear. We often know about fear as being afraid of someone. In other words, somebody could do something bad to you. When you are afraid of a gun or a knife, you're not afraid of a person. You're afraid of the gun or a knife. The gun or knife happened to be in this person's hand. When there is somebody with a fist standing next to you, you're not afraid of this person. You're afraid of what he's going to do to you. But there is another form of fear. It's the fear of a person. And when people are called to the office of somebody very respectable, if you will be called into the White House tomorrow and you will be in front of the president, you'll be in front of the prime minister of your country, you'll be in front of a king, you'll have an understandable emotional fear. Why fear? American presidents usually don't murder people in the White House. Everybody who walks into the White House alive usually walks out also. So what are you afraid of? But you're going to be shivering. Why are you going to be shivering? You're not afraid of what they're going to do to you. You're afraid of them. By the way, this is why people who are religious, often called God-fearing people, very often the interpretation of term God-fearing is that you are afraid of what God is going to do to you. If you will misbehave, God is going to whack you over your head. This is not being a God-fearing person. This is being a punishment-fearing person. You're afraid of the fist. You're afraid of the knife, the gun. You're not afraid of the person. If I'm a God-fearing person, it means I fear God. I am in awe of God. I have a lot of respect for God. So these are all expressions of gevurah, strictness. Strictness towards yourself that allows you to create space for someone else. And as we said before, gevurah is not indifference, because indifference is absence of any emotions. Gevurah is my ability to hold back my chesed. That's why chesed is primary. I have a desire to get close to somebody. I have a desire to give. And now I'm exerting myself to pull back. This is gevurah. So when is gevurah able to come into the picture? Only after chesed. I want to give something to someone, but then I have to think, well, first of all, does he need it? Maybe I want to give it to him, but he doesn't need it. I heard so many times from professionals who work with drug addicts that if someone is addicted to drugs and he doesn't realize what he's doing, you need to allow him to realize how harmful his addiction is. And if you are going to be giving him money for his drugs, more and more and more and more money, you're going to be feeding his addiction. He will never realize how bad it is because he will not see anything wrong with it. So giving money to a person like this is kindness, but it's a harmful kindness. So gevurah has to think, 1 second, the kindness that I'm trying to have towards this person right now, is it a good kindness or it's a bad kindness? That's the first question of gevurah. Gevurah also might be asking, am I able to give this? Maybe I'm overtaxing myself. Maybe I'm not capable of giving this person what I'm about to give him. Gevurah will also be thinking about if this is the right time, the right place. Maybe I want to give him the right thing. Maybe I am able to give it to him and this person needs it, but now is not the right time. Maybe this is not the right place. So gevurah has all of these calculations that allow it to pull back to restrict chesed. In other words, chesed, kindness, is unlimited flow of emotions. Gevurah allows me to have a measured response to someone else. Gevurah is not shutting off chesed completely. If gevurah is going to be shutting off chesed completely, then this whole picture just won't exist anymore. If we have two forces of equal strength butting heads with each other, then they're going to cancel each other out. It's going to be a wash. This whole line might as well not exist. We have gevurah that is allowing us to have a measured chesed, and that's why chesed needs to be stronger than gevurah. By the way, this is why in the Jewish tradition, the right side, which is chesed, is always primary. That's why we write from right to left. If it would be writing from left to right, it wouldn't be called writing, it would be called lefting. We write from right to left. By the way, if you will look at any Hasidic dress, you will see that the right side is going over the left side. If you look at a kapota, which I'm wearing on Shabbos, you will see that it has a closure of right over left. It's not because I bought it in the woman's store. It is a Hasidic dress, and in Jewish tradition, right supposed to be stronger than the left, and the right, therefore, is supposed to be over it. And this is why also when we shake lulav, it has hadasim, myrtle branches, on the right, and willow branches on the left, and hadasim are chesed, kindness, willow is gvura, strictness, and we always make sure to have hadasim taller than the branches of willow, the branches of arava, because we want it to be bigger. And actually, in our Chabad custom, we have more hadasim than is required just to have more kindness even than strictness, gvura. And all of this is because gvura supposed to be limiting chesed, but not completely, not canceling it out. And another often misunderstanding of strictness, gvura, is that I see sometimes parents or teachers or spouses, brothers and sisters, or bosses and employees at work, when they interact with each other, I very often see that people say, well, he is a very gvura person. This is why he doesn't compliment his employees. Or this is why this teacher doesn't compliment his students. Or this is why this parent doesn't compliment his kids. No. This is not called a gvura person. Gvura in Hebrew also means justice. Gvura in Hebrew also means fairness. A person who is strict, a teacher or a boss or a parent who is strict, has to be strict in a fair way. If you are beating up your kids for no reason, I think it was in one of Gorky's works that the father was beating up the children every Saturday. He did not know for what, but they did. If you are beating up your kids every Saturday, that's not called strict. That's called cruel. Strict means following the rules. Strict means following the laws. Kind means giving people more than what they deserve. Strict means giving people only what they deserve. Not giving people what they deserve is not called being strict. That's called being mean. That's called being cruel. In this entire chart, there's no emotion called cruelty here. That's why, by the way, I said this is not a balanced view of all of our emotions. Cruelty, I mean, is an emotion, but it's not here. And it's not here because it's not an emotion we're supposed to have. When we see a boss or a parent or a teacher who is not complimenting someone when they deserve it, that's not called being strict. A strict person is going to compliment others only when they deserve it. A kind person is going to compliment them also when they don't deserve it. A strict person will give only what people have earned. A kind person will give them more than what they have earned. If a person is not giving people what they have earned, he's not called strict. He's called a thief. It's not on this chart. This is why strictness is called justice, fairness. When we turn to God, we ask Him for justice. We ask Him to be fair. And on top of it, we ask Him to be kind. Because we are telling God, God, first of all, if we earned something, please give it to us. No, we earned it. We need to get it. But then on top of it, we want God to be kind to us. Because God's kindness is what is allowing me to get more than what I've earned. So this is why we now understand that every person has a chesed side to him and a gvura side to him. I don't think there's one human in this world who is pure chesed without any gvura and pure gvura without any chesed. It says that Avraham was the epitome of chesed, kindness, but God was testing him to see if he will be able to evoke the gvura side of himself when he needs to, and he was able to do it. So even Avram was able to do it. So every person has both chesed and gvura, but there are some people who have stronger side of chesed and stronger side of gvura. That depends on their personality. There are different approaches to children, people around you, to your employees, to your neighbors, to the world. And some approaches are more leaning towards chesed, some towards gvura. And there are many debates, what is right? And when you raise children, obviously, you cannot have a total chesed, you cannot have a total gvura. The Torah speaks a lot about when which approach is appropriate, and it could be very complex. But generally, people who are leaning towards chesed are usually more emotional. They're warmer people. They're softer people. What does it mean that they're softer people? They have less of the ability of self-control. They are very much into expansion and influencing others because they want to give. They want to share what they have, whether it's knowledge or it's a positive emotion or it's an advice or it's something that they have or it's their money. People who are more gvura people, they are more reserved. They're usually colder, colder personalities. They are more controlled. They are very often also introverts because of that. So chesed people, they're, I guess, usually more kind and they want to give to others, but they're, because they're more emotional, they'll get upset probably also easier than gvura people. A person who gets angry the whole time is not a gvura person. It's a chesed person because he's sharing his emotions, whether they're positive or negative. And now we will also see something very interesting. If you remember, we spoke about Chochmah and Binah being on the right and left column. And as you see, Chesed and Gvura are also on the right and left column. And Chesed is under Chochmah and Gvura is under Binah. Why is it? Because Chochmah is the initial push, the initial idea, which is then developed by Binah. And Binah requires controlled discipline. Binah requires details. And Binah requires to focus on one detail. Chesed is the initial push, the initial desire to give, to share, to move towards someone. And Gevura is the restrictive force that is compelling me to hold myself back. It's a discipline. And then I am developing whatever chesed gives in a disciplined way. So this is why we have the right column that has chokhmah and chesed and the left column that has binah and gvura. They are similar to each other. So now we understand why love is not enough for my relationship with other people. If I love someone and the only feeling towards them I have is love, then I will overwhelm them. I will smother them. I will not allow them to exist. I'll run them over. And when I am trying to form a relationship with someone, whether it is a spouse, whether it's a child, a parent, employer, employee, I need to have both love, my desire to get close to them, but then also gevura, my ability to let them be, my ability to create space for them, to make their own space. And in a family relationship, it's very important because two people could love each other, but they still two different independent people. And no spouse will always love the food that the other spouse likes. No spouse will like the pastime that the other spouse likes. You have different people, like different things. Each spouse needs to know how to create space for another one. Same thing for parents and children. And probably for parents and children is the hardest. Why? Because a spouse of yours, you got to know them when you were the adults. So you kind of already figured out that this is a separate person and I need to give them their own space. But my child came into my life when he was a baby and I gave my child no choices. And now I have to start slowly giving them more and more choices, allowing them more and more space. And for parents, it's very hard. And if we don't give them as much space as they want, or at least they think they need, they will start resenting us. And that's where the tension always comes. The tension always comes between my assessment of what the right measure of gvura is compared to how much of my gvura they need. And this is the tug of war between chesed and gvura that we always have in our lives. Next class, we're going to be talking about tiferet, which is harmony.